Yeah, okay, then today I want to talk on spin letters, in particular on excitations in spin letters, and still more specific on effect of biquadratic spin interactions, four spin interactions in spin letters. The usual picture of spin letter, and I will only talk about spin 1/2 two-legged letter, is that you have bilinear interactions, so S1, S2, on the various bonds which you consider, which may be either maybe rungs and legs and diagonals, maybe two diagonals. So these are most common models. So of course, these two is just the standard spin letter. But you can consider also four spin terms of the type, let's say, S1, S2, S3, S4. Of course, for spin 1/2, you cannot have squared operators. But if you take four different spin operators, then that is some possible contribution of this biquadratic term. So if you consider one of these basic plaquettes and combine these four spins in three possibilities, which are easily seen to exist, you get more contributions to the Hamiltonian. And to look at the effect of these is of interest in two different respects. So one point is that you get more freedom in the Hamiltonian, so the phase space of interaction constants is larger, and that gives you possibility of constructing easier, interesting solutions, and I want to show you a little bit some exact solutions for ground states, phase diagrams, and also some exact excited states, making use of this larger space of interaction constants. That is one point. And the second point is that these terms also might be of experimental relevance. There have been many experiments on the spectrum of this spin letter of the simple geometric arrangement, but most experiments until recently only have concentrated or have been able to measure the spin gap. But recently there has been an experiment by Matsuda and Eccleston, done at ISIS, which measure sort of full spectrum of these excitations, and then one can try to determine these exchange parameters in more detail, and so we have been cooperating with these experimentalists, and it seems that biquadratic terms help to get proper interpretation of these experiments. Now let me start in more detail by showing you a list of co-workers and some references. So three upper people are from Hanover, where I'm coming from. So Alexei Kolejuk is sharing his time between Kiev and Hanover, and these are two students at Hanover. And as to these interpretation of experiments and direct effects of biquadratic terms on the spectrum, we have been working together with Nagaosa and Uchida in University of Tokyo and with these experimentalists. And there are some references down here. Now, as I already learned here, there's some debate whether Hamiltonian is useful or interesting. So I do have Hamiltonian to show you in the beginning. I don't know whether it is advantage or disadvantage. I have not yet learned. But anyway, this is my Hamiltonian in some abbreviated representation. Actually, I showed you already in this introductory discussion. I just have these still have these four types of bilinear interactions on Rank's legs or two diagonals. And then there are three types of possible biquadratic interactions combining into a scalar product the two spins on the legs of one plaquette on diagonals or on the rungs. So this is a total of seven parameters. Okay, you can distinguish between the two legs actually. So, and for formal reasons, I will also include a constant in this Hamiltonian, just to get eigenvalue zero. And our approach, which we use to get exact ground states in the space of these interaction constants, is this matrix product approach to one-dimensional quantum systems. And I like to call it poor man's approach to exact solutions. So that is something which can be much easier done than beta ansatz or similar methods. And it also gives you it only gives you ground state, and sometimes you can find excited states, as I mentioned. But let me shortly describe how this approach works. So usual task is to solve Schrödinger equation, and standard approach is you take given Hamiltonian as the one on previous transparency, and then you try to find eigenstates and energies. In this matrix product approach, the general scheme is reversed. One starts with some wave function, makes some educated guess about how a wave function might look like, and it should depend on some parameters, which can be determined later. And then parameters and interaction constants of the Hamiltonian are determined such that Schrödinger equation is fulfilled for ground state. First just fulfilled to get an eigenstate, but then you are interested in a ground state, and that means that everything else has higher energy. So this example is really originated in one-dimensional physics, and the first example, although it was not called so explicitly, is this VBS or AKLT approach to one-dimensional Heisenberg anti-ferromagnet with spin 1 about 10 years ago. Then shortly later, mathematical aspects of this were investigated by these people here, and then applications to other 1D systems started, and I explicitly mentioned this group in Cologne who did probably the first application after these ones. This ansatz works, this is not specific so far, but for this matrix product ansatz, one does the following. One assumes, treats problems which have Hamiltonian of this type, so in one dimension, nearest neighbor terms, in some sense, although for ladders, then these are not single spins, but single rungs of the ladder. So each of these indices describes, each value describes two spins. And the wave function is, the ansatz for the wave function is a product of these matrices. And if one arranges parameters in a way that two-side contribution or two-rung contribution to the Hamiltonian annihilates this product of matrices, then one has an eigenfunction of the complete problem that you see immediately. And if you include a term plus E0 times constant in the Hamiltonian, then that gives you the energy per rung. So this, of course, ansatz for this matrix is then the crucial input. And with a view to this application to spin ladders, I want to discuss this ansatz down here. So the matrix elements are states. and each matrix is responsible for one rung of this ladder, and on one rung these two spins 1/2 can form either singlet or triplet. So there are two possibilities. And if we look for states with rotational invariance, so I didn't explicitly say so, but Hamiltonian I'll talk about today is rotationally invariant. You can do the same thing or generalize this to anisotropic interactions, but I'm not going to talk about it. Then you should construct this matrix in a rotationally invariant way, and that means you have one parameter free, which is called U in my notation, and that is the relative weight of singlets and triplets, and the form of the matrix is then determined by arranging these three triplets in a way that total wave function can describe singlet, and then you need Pauli matrices, and that is then form of wave function. Okay, so maybe I should mention, as long as it is on this transparency, two rather trivial limits. So if U is infinite, then you can forget about triplets, then you have singlets on the rung, and if the U is equal to zero, then you have pure triplets on the rung, and these are the limits which I will be considering later. So just shortly to tell you what has to be done in order to solve the problem, or what is the best way to do it. One considers these basic plaquettes which are behind the screen here. Okay, and there are four spins on this plaquette and 16 states, and you can express both the plaquette Hamiltonian and this product of these two relevant matrices in terms of the multiplets to which these 16 states can be decomposed. You have two singlets, three triplets, and one quintuplet, just 16 states. And the point which makes the whole method interesting is that in this product of matrices, which has to be annihilated by HII plus 1, only two of these multiplets enter. So you just multiply, form this product, and decompose into these multiplets. So there is only one singlet and one triplet which enters into this product. So if you want to annihilate these states, of course these are four conditions, by this Hamiltonian, then in the decomposition of this Hamiltonian into multiplets, which is just characterized by parameters lambda, which are related then of course to the exchange constants, only the ones which are related to these multiplets entering this product have to be zero, whereas the other can have arbitrary values. Okay, so that is the freedom which is then left after this has been exploited. This singlet and this one triplet which enters here have to have zero expansion coefficients in this decomposition of the Hamiltonian, and also the off-diagonal elements of course have to be zero to fulfill this up there. And the condition that the resulting state is a ground state requires that the remaining lambdas are larger or at least equal to zero. This, of course, is an alternative representation of this Hamiltonian which I had in the beginning, and in order to exploit what is in this method, one just has to find the relation between these lambdas and the exchange constants. So that is just the task which is sometimes possible to be done, and sometimes it is just too complicated if space becomes too large. But for spin ladder in this plaquette construction with 16 states, it can just be done. And maybe I don't want to show you in detail, but the result exists. So you can relate the interaction constants to these lambdas and there is some freedom left, a lot of freedom left. There are 5 free parameters, these Hamiltonian parameters referring to these multiplets which are not in this matrix product. Okay, maybe I should mention in between the wave function is product of these G's. I had the G before. So finally, actually what you are calculating is not one wave function, but as many wave functions as you have matrix elements. So in this case, 4 of them. But that is something which actually makes sense, and I'll just mention, probably you do know these relations. It is related to the end effects in the spin 1 chain, so you get 4 ground state wave functions, and if you have thermodynamic system, open chain, then you have these total singlet or total triplet. These are just these 4 states referring to these 4 entries. If you make periodic boundary conditions, then you have to take the trace, and that is just then one wave function which you are lost.
These systems do not necessarily have a gap, is that right? They could also have a
Yeah, they do not necessarily have a gap, but the standard case is that you do have gap, and then sometimes, you can describe a situation where you are approaching these stability limits. And if you get sort of degeneracy with another phase, some of these lambdas are not larger than zero, but equal to zero, and then you can have the situation where you do not have a gap. I'll show you excitation spectra later. Yes, I think so, but I don't know whether they are non-trivial, but they are critical points. Okay, so I'm coming to that. So I just want to give 2 transparencies with some results and then come to this point on the using specific model. So solutions which are obtained in this approach as I described is, okay, maybe one which is different from these 2 limiting cases which I mentioned before. Limiting cases were singlets on rungs or triplets on rungs, is some complicated matrix where this parameter U, which gives the weight between singlets and triplets, is neither infinite nor zero, but 3. And that is gives actually the ground state solution for this frustrated 2 coupled chains. So there are 2 ferromagnetic chains, basic interaction minus 1 up there, and they are coupled in the zigzag way, in frustrated way, with anti-ferromagnetic couplings on one of these zigzag bonds and ferromagnetic on the other ones. Actually, it turns out, if I investigate this, it is degenerate with the ferromagnetic ground state. It is just on the boundary of this phase space of the zigzag chain, this ferromagnetic ground state. But most instructive is to look at some examples of these limiting cases. So if you have rung dimer ground states, this includes, that's a general condition for having ground states which have just singlets on the rungs, which is this one. It is easy, let's say, to fulfill even without biquadratic couplings. If you take leg and diagonal couplings equal, that is one of these solutions which is runs under the name of Bose-Guyen. But there are other solutions where just this left-hand side is zero, which is Shastri-Sutherland chain, where one of the D's is zero, or delta chain, the limiting solution of delta chain, where one of the J's is zero, and so on. So these cases are included. In addition, of course, one has to discuss the stability, which I just to mention, not forget this, I have indicated here. One case which looks, looked at least for me, surprising in the beginning, but actually is also trivial, is you can get coupling between an anti-ferromagnetic chain and the ferromagnetic chain coupled by these interactions 1 in this case, rank coupling is taken equal to 1. But that is just another case here, so they are just opposite to each other. And so, sort of deformed just this other than more. What is also trivial, but at least I.
It means the
diameter of the quantity is wrong. Yes, yes. Yeah, so all these, on this constant, you have this type of ground state, but there's there's large space in interaction constants, and these are some examples. Okay, so what this, maybe also trivial, but at first, at least, it looked surprising to me. There's pointers somewhere. You can get in many cases an exact excitation for these models. There's one condition which is written down here, but if you take this typical case that the two leg have equal interactions and the diagonals also, then for instance it is fulfilled. And then the state where you replace one of these singlets by triplet is exact eigenstate. And rather trivial to check if you apply Hamiltonian to this combination S here and T here, it just shifts, it just exchanges singlet and triplet. So it is just a simple propagating triplet which leads to a very simple cosine dispersion. But it is an exact eigenstate, although, of course, you cannot tell whether it is lowest eigenstate. I don't know any criterion for that, but in some interesting cases, which I will come to later, we have checked whether it actually is lowest eigenstate. Okay, let me skip this next example here. And second interesting possibility is this opposite. No singlets, which means triplets on each rung. And that, of course, must include the spin 1 chain in this. And then, because there are these biquadratic terms, this AKLT Hamiltonian. But it is, in some sense, generalized because you really decompose these spin 1s into physical spin 1 halves. And that gives you possibility of these decomposing these biquadratic interactions. So there's a whole family with two parameters of this type. And in this family, it is always so that there exists an exact singlet excitation, just with the same argument or same background. So you replace one of these triplets on one rung by singlet, and then if you apply Hamiltonian, you exchange singlet and triplet. And that again gives you some cosine dispersion. And I wrote this down just to mention that this gap goes to zero when either this lambda or this, which have to be larger than zero or equal to zero, vanishes. So these are stability limits for these states. And in this case, one sees explicitly that there's a stability limit, dispersion goes to zero. So one example, which of course makes clear this relation to this spin 1 chain, is this one. Takes a leg coupling equal to unity. And then you have to have these specific values for the biquadratic coupling. And if you put JR negative, you have ferromagnetic interaction here, so tendency to form triplets, but of course not minus infinity necessarily. Any finite value smaller than minus 4 or 5 will do. And that is of this type with this dispersion. And of course, if you go to minus infinity, then you do not have anymore, it doesn't make sense anymore to talk of these different biquadratic couplings. You just get one between the effective spin 1 chain, spins 1, and that is then, of course, AKLT Hamiltonian.
So in these models where you vary some parameter,
unstable?
Right, that's true, yeah.
So you understand what kind of phase?
Yes, yeah, I hope so. I'll have some, yeah. Mm-hmm. One third simple possibility in these matrix products, which I just want to mention at this point and come to later, is if you put this parameter relative weight of singlets and triplets equal to plus or minus one. So if it is zero, you just have singlets. If it is infinite, let's say, you just have singlets on the rungs. If it is plus or minus one, it turns out that you have these rungs on diagonals. So unfortunately, I do not know a simple proof of that. Just calculate, and then it must be simple, but okay, I can't do it. But this is so. So this is also a rather simple state, and actually, of course, related to this Majumdar-Ghosh degeneracy, but also simpler if you exchange what you certainly can do, legs on every other compound, interchange these two spins, then you move from diagonals to some alternating pattern of dimers, but that is something which I want to discuss a little bit later. Yeah, as you said, so phase diagram and relation between states is interesting, and that I want to discuss in the next few transparencies, just on the example of this, slightly generalizing what is called Bose Guyenne model, which was this Hamiltonian. So in this Hamiltonian, there are no biquadratic terms, but you have just rungs, equal legs, and equal diagonals, and then two parameters. So original model was diagonal coupling equal to leg coupling, and then it's easy to see that the Hamiltonian just involves only some of spins on a rung, because, okay, these four terms, if this is equal to one, just add up to this product. And so this Hamiltonian in this case commutes with total spin on a rung, and then you can determine, you can choose a total spin on each rung in arbitrary way, and you always get an eigenstate. Of course, the lowest eigenstate, nearly, of course, has either only triplets or only singlets, and it depends on the strength of the rung coupling, which is still a free parameter. And this boundary is then determined by ground state energy of spin one chain. This is this 1.4 and something. So you get first order phase transition in this case at this point where the system switches from singlets on the rungs to triplets on the rungs, or spins one to spin zero to spins one. Okay, so this is just one free parameter, but if you allow for these biquadratic terms, then you can generalize this to two free parameters, and actually it is possible to find the complete phase diagram. So this is the same as before, these two parameters. Okay, so this is historical notation. And if you include biquadratic terms in this way, then it turns out that this model has matrix product type ground states for all parameter values in the whole Y1, Y2 plane. No, actually it is true. As it is written here, it has eigenstates, and in a large region of this plane, these are ground states. Okay, so this is sort of deformation which is similar to the change from spin 1 Heisenberg anti-ferromagnet to a KLT model. So it allows to give the ground states exactly, but depending on these two parameters, whereas for spin one chain, you only have, you have no parameter. You have one parameter, but that is fixed by this condition that it should be ground state. So, okay, so Y1 was rung coupling, and Y2 was the diagonal coupling. And this is a phase diagram. So what I discussed explicitly before was this line, legs equal to diagonals. So it is this line. And for large exchange on the rungs, you have the singlets on the rungs. And if this is below the critical value, then that should be 1.4 here. Then it goes over to this phase singlet triplets on the rungs. So u equals 0, u equals infinity. And this is first order phase transition, just the jump from the singlet state to triplet state. So if you then take this second free parameter, you can follow this first order transition for some while, and it ends up in some points which we do not quite understand. They are multi-critical, we say, so there is an infinity of degenerate ground state. Any value of u is a solution here. But starting from these states, there are these second order lines which limit this phase on this side and this phase on this side. Whereas in these two phases called D1 and D2, the states are, the matrix product states are exact, but they are not ground states. So here, ground state is different. This state obtained in this approach has very high energy proportional to length of the system. So here, the ground state is different, and we think it is dimerized in a way which I would like to describe later.
So the right is not necessarily a true phase transition line?
This one? Your
exact eigenstate ceases to be a ground state.
Yes, the eigenstate we can write down.
Probably implies a phase transition?
Yeah, that's what we think, because what we also, first thing is we can find the stability, we investigate the stability conditions, but now we can also look at spectra. And we do have these exact excitations also in both of these regions here. And
ground state remains the ground state up to that line?
Yes. The ground state is known in all of this region, and it is of this type, and also here. Okay.
But it's a change of symmetry. So the true ground state, yeah, whatever it is, must have a change of symmetry.
Here?
So if you go, take a semi-circular line like that, at some point the ground state has dimerized symmetry,
yes,
somewhere else it doesn't.
Yeah.
But do you know where that is?
Okay, I am not really cannot prove that it is dimerized, but we have different, slightly different models from what we would, which we would conclude that it is. So in that, if this is true, then it is on this line. But I mean, that I say these are second order lines is the basis for this is that we look at these excitations, which I mentioned before, which can be written down, and maybe I just should discuss instead of showing the equations. So in all of three these phases, including ferro phase, we have these exact excitations, and their energy vanishes, either zero at zero or pi wave factor, at these boundaries here. Okay, maybe the most instructive is what is necessary anyway to show you the numerical result for these excitations, because as I said before, we cannot be sure that it is lowest excitation. It is exact eigenstate, and it is exact eigenstate with parity minus one, because you change from triplet to singlet or vice versa with respect to two legs of the ladder. So what we have plotted here is for different points in this phase diagram, just reproduced here, both this exact excitation and the numerical results, lowest state for both parities. So let's say there are two points close to these transition lines. So this one here, 3, and okay, these are y1, y2. It is up here. And there, rather close to this line, lowest excitation is described by this exact result for some range in Q space, and then apparently some crossover occurs, that in this region here, and that is of course what becomes unstable when we really go onto this line, or zero, the gap vanishes, is the exact solution. And similarly for this point, where we also, yeah, same, have this crossing. It's cosine, yeah, so that is, yeah, so it is just sitting there, and so very simple, but,
Is it possible the conditions are much shorter everywhere, or do you think that's definitely?
Yeah, so, of course, I cannot exclude, but if there's this behavior in spectra, I consider this to be soft mode, and say this is second order.
I guess the question is a little confused. So when you look at these spectra, that's above a certain exact state. Does that state known to be the ground state, or does that state cease to be the ground state before the gap closes?
No, the gap closes exactly at the point where the ground state, the state ceases to be the ground state. That's identical, yeah. Well, that is seen analytically. Hmm.
The correlation length is not the
root? No. To interchange of legs, so triplet contributes minus one, plus one, and singlet contributes. It depends on your definition. Yeah. Okay. So if you take ground state of even number of triplets, it's also plus one, and then if you change to singlet, it's minus one because you lose one triplet, but it's just difference with respect to ground state. Yeah, so maybe, yeah, still some time. Few remarks on model which has exact ground states but not exact excitations. So this is a model related to this somehow U equal plus minus one. Maybe I just show results of ground state. So it has this dimerized structure. So, and then, of course, it is twofold degenerate, U and on this dimer, on this rung and on this rung have opposite sign. So it's slight generalization of the ansatz with alternating parameters U from rung to rung. And that is for also families of biquadratic interactions related to the ground state of this type. And this is some example which shows explicitly something which was shown in field theoretic approach by Nersesian and Zwillig, that ladders are sensitive to large, as they said, leg biquadratic terms, and then acquire excitation spectrum, which, as they say, is non-Haldane. So it is not a magnon, one single excitation, one delta function in response function. But it is composed of two solitons, which are essentially free to move independent from each other, so it is a continuum. So if you construct domains of this type of ground state and this type of ground state, you get two free spins in between, and so these entities then can move to the left or to the right, but they can move as either singlets or triplets if you decompose with respect to angular momentum. And that is something which is not, cannot be followed analytically. Yes?
I had a question about the ground state you showed at the top of that. I just wondered, is there a relationship between the ladder states that you have talked about and exact states for extended two-dimensional lattices? When they're fine models, right?
Yeah, so if some rather peculiar models allow you to construct ground states of this type, but I don't think this is very realistic and not really prepared to it. There is some work extending this to two dimensions, three dimensions. Yeah, okay, maybe you can answer. So, two dimensions, this is what you did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that can be, if you construct proper interactions, just for instance, that the spin on each rung which you take to cover the material is a good quantum number, then you can get ground states of the single type. So you can construct your interactions in a way that only sum of two spins which form this entity enter also in two or three dimensional Hamiltonian. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, maybe more simply, I had this condition for this rung singlet state to exist, which involves these two V's, and that has just to be fulfilled in not only in one dimension, but in the other dimensions also. And then you can construct states of this type three dimensionally. But I tried for quite a time, but I can't do. I mean, closely related, of course, is the generalization of VBS to higher dimensions, but this is in this long AKLT paper. If you take higher spin, let's say 3/2 or 2, then you take as many valence bonds as you have spin 1/2 subunits, and then you can construct the state and corresponding Hamiltonian. But no, I don't know how to write this. So I thought that would be a nice thing. So I tried for some time, but other people also tried.
I haven't thought about it. There must be some generalization of basic products.
I mean, okay, so that's what I thought and would like to find. But I talked to Sasaki, for instance, about it. He said he tried also and cannot find. So I gave up. Okay, so these excitations are somehow interesting before I come to this last point related to experiments. So what we did here is just to construct these excitations, which are domain walls, one type of eigenstate, other type of ground state, and in between these two free spins. Okay, there are two possibilities where you end this domain, so you have either this or this configuration, and you can combine them to singlet or to triplet and write down wave function of this type, which is then has to be considered as some reasonable ansatz for excited state, but it is not exact, so it's orthogonal to ground state, but so some. Yeah, I mean, that depends what you call spin on, right? So let's say this entity I would call soliton. Yeah, these two spins are fixed. But, I mean, yeah, that is, yeah. So this can, they can propagate together. Yeah. But if you want to generate this excitation, then you have to generate these entities in pairs. So you start ground state. Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Then they are created in pairs. I mean, this is one ground state and that's the other one. So if you start from ground state and make some... No, not with these. No, yeah. These two are confined, but the other ones are the second green line, which is not on this...
So there is no fluctuation
between these. They are fixed.
It's for her, but,
yeah, but this is higher energy. No, but these two green lines are independent. So if you... Yeah, and that is what, if you would say make neutron scattering experiment or so, you would create two of these entities, and they move independently and form continuum. So in that sense, each of these is sort of similar to spinon. But there are two spins in this quotation mark spinon. So I show you a spectrum, which we calculated this way, and then maybe it's in this part. And there's one family which is maybe the only one I want to discuss. There's, of course, is continuum due to this independent motion of these two. But lower edge of this continuum gives you the gap. And there's one family of models interpolating between the Rung dimer, where u is infinity, and Rung triplets, AKLT, where u is equal to zero. And there are, we find these singlet excitations unstable here. And we have, of course, singlet excitation in AKLT phase written down before. And we find triplet excitations unstable here at this Rung dimer phase. And if you go into Rung dimer phase, I had these triplet excitations coming down before. So they match at these points here. And although this is a different model, our opinion is that this type of states and excitation spectrum connect these two faces. Which I had on this face diagram before. Yeah, that's all we know. So, correlation length, the correlation function is somewhat abnormal. So since there is soft mode, we say this is second order. Okay, so this was all playing around with interaction constants and models.
Which
correlation length is short range? There is this dimer correlation length, which I think is just a constant, has no exponential decay, but goes to zero at this point. And then there's also spin correlation length. Yeah. Okay, so finally, some transparencies on real experiments on, this is not quite fit to what I'm going to talk, but it shows you the substance. I learned this telephone number compound, strontium 14, kappa 24, oxygen 41, which actually is two compounds. So it both has chains in it, and here, this composition, and it has ladders in it. And it is a ladder part which is of interest. And I mean, most investigation on this compound has been done by Matsuda and his co-workers at Riken in Japan. As for this transparency, we were interested in these effects of impurities or holes, but here I have a different story. So one problem with this compound is that six of these kappa 24 are in 3+ state. So there are some holes here, and people do not really know exactly to what extent these holes are in the chain and to what in the ladder. Maybe all of them are in the chain, but maybe the most probable result is that one of these six is in the ladder. And so that is then not, this specific compound is not really the one which is very easy related to these models I had before. But what has been done, and where the measurements which I'm going to show you were done on, is a slightly different compound, namely replacing this strontium 14 by lanthanum 6 calcium 8. And this compound has no holes, all kappa are 2+, and also there exist nice single crystals for this. And okay, the point of these measurements is that maybe I should show on this transparency is that at this ISIS source in England, for the first time, they were able to go up to very large incident energies. So they did experiments with neutrons of 600 millielectron volts, and the excitations have rather high energy, 200 and more millielectron volts. So that was not really possible before. But the first, so usually one has this point of the characterizing the gap here, but the standard analysis of these experiments uses legs and rungs, so as just a geometric picture down here, and tries to fit both the gap and maybe then also later the spectra. And the somewhat surprising result is that the leg coupling in these materials comes up about as twice as large as the rung coupling. And this is unexpected from geometry because this is rather symmetric, this basic plaquette. And I mean, if one considers distances, so it should be even, if at all, the other way around. So this has been somewhat of a mystery to the people involved in this. And also the absolute value of this rung coupling is much smaller than what one is used to from CO2 plaquettes in two-dimensional materials. So our claim is that these questions can be resolved rather. Okay, I'll come to this later. But the question is yes, but there are other good things. But referee does not agree that this is good. Okay, so the claim is that this can be rather naturally explained by using these, taking into account possible biquadratic interactions. So what we did is to investigate the effect for just this standard ladder with legs and rungs only, no diagonals, the effect of ring exchange. So spins are not exchanged between two sides, but they just exchange this way, as is known from helium-3 layers, to be important. And so there, why not? But so there are some electronic structure calculations. Have been done, Kuramoto in the early 90s, actually for two-dimensional materials, indicating that this might be in the proper units 10% or so, and small but not completely negligible. So it's just a question of overlap. Okay, so this can be written. So we have two spin exchange and four spin exchange in Hermitian combination, of course, factors called J ring. And this can be expressed, this is sort of natural Hamiltonian, but it can be expressed by two and four spin terms. So this does not only contribute to the four spin terms in this combination, so this is leg-leg. And this is diagonal, and this is this is diagonal, and this is leg leg, and this is rung rung from symmetry of plaquette. This is clear. There's this minus sign here, fixed just by this Hamiltonian. And then there are some other contributions to the two spin terms if you decompose this into spin operators. Okay, that's all. So it is just the same Hamiltonian as I had before. There's a specific relation between these the four spin terms. The first thing one can do is and that is reasonably instructive, to expand around dimer limit. So take small values for the leg interaction and the ring interaction and expand this. So first term, as usual, gives this cosine. And this is Rung coupling. Yeah. And only thing which I want to emphasize here is that the dispersion is determined in this leading order, is determined by this sum. So if you introduce, if you want to fit a certain dispersion by leg interaction alone, this has to be larger than when you allow for these two terms. And no, sure. Yeah. Okay, this is just qualitatively to discuss what might happen. And the second point, of course, also is if you introduce some finite positive ring exchange, then the gap gets smaller. So cosine gets larger factor, and the gap excitation comes down. Yeah, probably you can. So it agrees with these electronic structure calculations, which then probably. Frankly, I didn't check, but it has to be positive. Okay, it fits in what I have said before, that in the that one can actually also find exact excitations. In this case, they would require this. This is clearly unphysical, but it's sort of one possibility just to check our, to match our results. Okay, maybe this is not so relevant, but so we calculated various spectra, this is then just numerically, for various leg exchange, 0.5, 1, which is the symmetric case, and 2, and then with this J ring as parameter. So here is positive, lowest values, and so one sees if this is 0, this is the usual curve, or maybe look here, the usual ladder spectra of these triangles pointing to the top. And if this ring exchange is switched on, the gap comes down, and also this maximum here flattens somewhat. So yeah, this was meant to be related to experimental data. And so the first quantity we looked at is something which seemed to be, after discussions with Matsuda, some typical quantity. So it is sort of the slope of this ladder spectrum. So there's a gap at pi, and then this is just the ratio of the energy at two-thirds of Brillouin zone divided by the gap energy. So if this is large value, then this is rather steep excitation curve. An experimental value is about 5. So then if we take this is this ring exchange. If the conventional study is to take this, or conventional approach is to take this equal to 0, and then you read off here that, so this leg exchange should be somewhere here between 1.5 or more close to 2. So that is this result which I pointed out before. Standard opinion is that in these ladders, leg exchange is twice as large as ring exchange. But you already see here that another possibility is to make this ring exchange rather small. And then you can also do with smaller leg exchange. So you get easily over from this to this one with some small contribution of this. So that's the point of story. Of Rung. Rung exchange is basic energy. Yeah, so this is sort of borne out more completely But, I mean, basically in this way, by these experiments. So they did all sorts of fit. And, okay, before I showed you this fit. And, of course, error bars are rather large, in particular in wave vector direction. So the question is whether this is properly called full spectrum. But, okay. Many more points than usual. So this is best fit without this ring exchange. And okay, it is not perfect, but reasonably good fit. This is the idea that this is two particle contribution close to origin of Brillouin zone. But equally good fit could be obtained by taking 10% of this ring exchange. So it's not, the claim is not that this fit is better than the other one, but that it is comparable in quality. And the difference between them is these two here, in if you take this into account, then legs and rung exchange are about equal, and whereas in this other fit, they are different by this factor of two. And so from basic considerations, one would, from geometry and also from electronic structure calculations, one would not expect this large factor here. And there's one other point to be mentioned. This is, so if we assume this symmetric situation, just standard symmetric ladder with equal rungs and legs, then as dependent on the ring exchange, the gap goes down in absolute value. Well, this is, of course, in units of this J rung, if this J ring becomes positive. So there should be 0.5 here at the zero, so that is the standard result. The spin gap in the ladder is half of rung exchange. But if you switch on this ring exchange, it goes down rather drastically, nearly to one half of its value for 10%. And of course, the absolute magnitude in millielectron volt of the exchange is determined from the measured gap. So measured gap is something like 35 millielectron volt. So if this is one half, then the basic rung coupling is about 800 degrees. But if it comes down to 0.25 or 0.28, actually, this basic rung coupling, which is then equal to the leg coupling, is something like 1400 or 1200 degrees. And that is much closer to what is found, or much more consistent, we find what is found in two-dimensional CuO2 planes, and therefore our argument together with these experimentalists is that this ring exchange should be seriously considered in interpretation of these ladder spectra. Yeah, that's all. I don't know too much about it, but I mean, what people have been doing is exactly what you say. Just as in spin-pi-hals problem, they have been integrating out phonon degrees of freedom. So, I mean, in spin-pi-hals problem, what you do is, what you get is you have some S1, S2, and then S2, S3, S, phonons here and phonons here integrated out gives you then this next nearest neighbor interaction. And the same in the ladder, if you do between these and these, you get this term. But how reliable quantitatively this is, I don't know. So I don't think people have really done to get quantitative, but to get quantitative results. You know?
I have a question about this English. If you take into account these higher order terms, then why don't you take into account the diagonals?
Yeah, okay. We have discussed this, and I mean there are two ingredients which are just phenomenologically. So if you try to fit the spectra with diagonal interactions, they have to have wrong sign, ferromagnetic. And there are also these electronic structure calculations by Maeda and other people in Sendai.
Diagonal as well as, involving the same set of spins.
Yeah, so they just...
Can you really get more than that many interactions?
They just calculate overlap.
Yeah. Think of process involving two C's and one C prime.
Sir, when you calculate this, when you assume green exchange, are you actually assuming that something was coming from a Hubbard model today?
Yeah, effectively, I think.
Unless you have a T prime, then it will be only T prime.
No, but here the term linear is defined. Yeah, it can be ferromagnetic or
anti-ferromagnetic, depending on the sign. So it gives the TPG squared times TPP, which is actually Mario Bindola.
Yeah,
that may be stronger than this 4 times TPP.
Okay, only thing I know.
It is that time this oxygen on a rocket, oxygen on the left, they have a direct CP overlap. This is actually relatively strong. Of course, I don't know really. If you want to go a ring, then you have TPD.
I don't contribute.
I would like to think in terms of some kind of Young Rayleigh orbit rather than in terms of this. Suppose you have a situation like this. Electron hops here. In the next order, this electron hops here. So you are left with two holes, one here and here. And then you move. That will be the first. In fact, it will give you something like U times 2U times U.
T to the 4.
They move on up. Something like that.
So in a single band model, the ring term and the diagonal term come in the same order. They all come in the same order.
Exactly. Depending on, suppose you have a T prime.
Without a T prime.
Without a T prime.
With T prime, it will come
lower order, and then it depends on the sign off. But you know,
the thing that is really essentially mechanism to be identified.
Yeah. It depends on the detailed quantum chemistry, but also when you do this fourth order experiment, that's only the full perception within the virtual core.
So by the way, from the geotechnological point of view, if you introduce SGO, it probably shall strongly influence downstream. In this bind,
you mean diagonal?
This core system is in the center. It must influence binding by some.
I mean, that is, the gap goes down, you say.
No, binding. I'm necessary.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, so, but that, I think, is consistent with also this gap going down. Right? It's basically.
Yeah,
no.
Do they have
your high state? No.
Maybe
they are happy.
Maybe if you introduce this, you get strong binding.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Two magnon bound states. Yeah, that may be interesting too. Of course, with neutron scattering, probably not possible, but some. But not so high energy. I mean, magnon already. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, maybe this K equals zero combination could be of this type. Yeah, so we try. This one.
Maybe.
Two of these. Yeah.
It can be strongly influenced.
Yeah. No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That we have not seen. Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Actually, I had a question about the plot that you showed about the numerical calculation of the dispersion when the thing was going to zero. So it was just an analytical plot and also.
Yes. In first part, you say, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. This one?
Okay. How do you know that this U is not actually going to zero?
When I mean, let's say we are here. This lunch. Yeah. On 24 spins. Yeah.
But
yeah. Okay.
No. So the blue could also be going to zero, right?
I mean, you are thinking of this DMRG found effect that if you go to 100 lengths, then sometimes there's crossing and so. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So what I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, that you have this exact identity.
Mm-hmm.
It has to vanish at the core time.
Yes.
But what I'm wondering is whether there is also another state which is not an exact, which vanishes linearly.
Okay. Yeah. So
in some sense, this
state
is peculiar. It's not.
Yes, I agree.
I wonder whether there is another state which has a linear dispersion at the transition.
Yeah. Okay. Of course, could be, but. I mean, it would have to be peculiar also in the sense that, I mean, this exact state where it applies is reproduced perfectly by 24 spins. But I mean, it is just one side, and that's of course
one side
excitation. Also for a finite system, actually, it is exact. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is exact for a finite system. That is. Yeah, so. It is just.
So the point that you have there, so for example, the blue point at the left corner, is that just the finite size, or is there some extrapolation done also?
No.
Extrapolation.
Yes,
so it could be lower.
Yes, so I cannot exclude, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, this clear is that this goes to zero at this boundary. So that is certainly true. That we know. Yeah, so then, I mean, you could argue that it goes to zero before, which would It cannot be. That is excluded because ground state is stable. Yeah. The only thing which can happen is that two excitations vanish at boundary. Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you about the discussion of these decomposition
risks. Yeah, yeah.
So they do propagate kind of waves, yeah? They live and it becomes a leaf and it becomes a leaf. So what is your discussion of you cannot read it often exactly, yeah?
So no, we cannot, yeah. Uh-huh. That's
not exactly at all. So what did you think for
Yeah, I think it is on this. No, it is on this transparency, but that is actually all
it's
because.
Disparity, whether he takes it a plus linear combination of these two or minus.
It is on
yeah,
this.
That's
okay, maybe also this one. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
this
one.
Yeah. So which of these corresponds to this application?
Okay, so first thing you have to decide is you have these two spins which are confined,
yeah.
And then you combine them into singlet or triplet.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, then there are two different dispersion relations, singlet or triplet. Yeah, so singlet is on this limit, boundary singlet goes to zero.
Suppose we start from this base. I don't quite understand for these two limits.
Okay, so these are different Hamiltonians.
Yeah, okay. For this particular situation, say for instance, this point which is, say, an annotation for curves, so exactly solid point, then you have this exact space.
Okay, so I mean, the point, of course, is this is also simplifying. I mean, this situation only true for u equal 1, so at 1 half here. So, I mean, this is just then.
Okay, in this situation, so what? Okay,
so if
suppose exactly
yeah,
in this situation,
yeah, okay.
What is your spectrum? What spectrum you obtain?
So, it's here singlet and triplet are degenerate, yeah.
Yeah,
and this is the beginning of this beginning of continuum.
Okay, this line is continuum, yeah, or what?
No. This is separate excitation. No domain wall, but just replacing one of these by triplet and looking how it propagates.
Okay.
So that is magnum.
So this is actually the ordinary magnum.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we wanted to check that is higher.
Okay. This is actually the lowest one. So what can you say about this dispersion? Not change of not
yeah
low
so
not parameter but
so that is dispersion yeah actually it is this case where u is equal to 1 so it is just this point here this is up here and
it is
is dispersion yeah so there's lower edge
yeah.
And that is because there are two of these they are on top of each other. This is different
so
wobble,
you
but
mean
on that.
If you keep the boundary conditions for the geometry.
Yes, yeah.
So essentially, if I consider, say, kind of anti periodic boundary conditions.
Okay, then you get one, yeah.
And
then this is
this is the.
Okay,
this
yeah, so. No, you have to you have to subtract half, yeah.
Half of it?
Yeah, yeah. Just
half of it?
No, not half of it, but just 0.25. Because lowest one. There are two starting at 0.25.
What will be this person?
Yeah, okay, just this shifted down to 0.25
yeah,
because
is,
just not half of this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that takes already reflects this
Yes.
Is that obvious or is the minimum going to be at pi over 2? I could imagine that you actually have 2 at pi over 2 giving you that 1/2. So you just looked at the dispersion for half of it. Like
happens in the Shastri 7 model. The minimum will be at pi over 2, and it will be coming up in some way. So the 2 pi over 2, 0.25 will add up to give you 0.5.
I'm not sure that it makes so much sense, because if you make this transformation every second... That's what happened in the Majumdar
course.
How does it look like?
No, it also has Majumdar Ghosh has minimum at k equals 0.
The magnon, the 0 is there.
Go have somewhere, also not here, here.
It's cosine function, and then you know when you have two of these, that will give you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
In the Shastra, maybe it's the definition of the momentum.
Yeah. So I'm not so sure when you make turn around every second placket. I maybe that you interchange zero and pi over two.
Yeah, no, but that's the difference between zero and pi over two. But it's kind of cut either it's here or it's negative cut for positive cut.
Okay, yeah. That would be like this here. Yeah. Okay, so there's just this ansatz. So this is the construction, and then just make running waves out of it, and then calculate expectation value.
Then
graph
from this to this, and
there are these two possibilities where you.
Or here from here to here. Directly, or from here to here via the.
No, 2n. So this one goes to this one.
But returns in the Newtonian which.
So the cell is.
The Newtonian would translate this directly from here to here. Second order.
Then just calculate expectation of this expectation value. But that is also what is done in neighborhood of Majumdar Ghosh point and just this other one. Also to find bound state, as Ian Affleck discussed sometime ago.
Diagram
where all the singlets
and triplets
are
going to zero, and
yes.
Run diagonal is coming up. Is that a point of finite entropy actually? No, that's the other plot. It's just the one below this one.
This one?
Yeah. That corner, the right hand side corner. Is that one of finite entropy actually many, many states becoming different? I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah, that might be.
Really, second order transitions, or should they really be part of as a kind of first order transition, even though the gap is going to be. But the left hand side may be more genuine. The left hand side, the singlet gap is going to be right?
Yeah, here the whole spectrum is collapsing.
That's right. Right? So,
But at the left point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The left point is only just this negative parity. Dimerized and triplets, yeah. And also in triplet phase, you have a singlet coming down.
So once again, this state here, I don't understand. Ground state is just the alternating.
Yeah, so this is rather so simple is, to.
Okay, what are these two ends?
So the end is simple. So so you just can go on top of this. So one end is, these are dimers, right? So it is this one, and the other end has triplets here.
That's plus CAT and C.
Yes.
And yeah. In between everywhere,
yeah.
You have that.
Yeah, it doesn't look like this because it is only this simple geometric pattern. If you have this U equal 1, but yeah, right. So
but
it has these. So in this pattern, there are only diagonal matrices, and then you can make this shift.
But,
for any U, you have these
linear.
Yes, yes. You have two states.
Two states.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the correlation length is always finite. You can, for any u,
even if it's 0. Yes. Yes. Well, this is very similar to Kevin's singlet everywhere, yeah?
Here. You think so?
Well, kind of.
Yeah, but it is. No. I mean, it is VBS, something like VBS state, where you have, okay, so
usually.
Yeah, but better you say the form singlet.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not.
I think they call this for three half space, and if I just think three half, then I can say that for instance, I can make it or whatever, and then I can come to.
That's the AFT.
Yeah, we take
it. Yeah, okay.
It seems kind of. And you can imagine as though there are each of them consists of one, and then one of them forms a this guy, one of them forms a this guy, and one of them forms a bond with this.
Yeah, but they are symmetrized, right? So these are symmetrized to form three halves. But that is essential to the state, that the symmetrization.
The way to guess what should be the proper lattice, so
yeah, so then three halves, so or two.
Three halves should be three neighbors and.
Yes, so
and
three halves has been discussed by Zetterholz in some sense.
Is it discussed on
yes, yeah.
Or on something like this better?
No, this honey.
Because
No.
You
hey.
Consider also
yeah, okay.
Is there any difference between states?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
No, they discussed on the hexagonal.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. You need three neighbors, but maybe kind of reflect.
Mm-hmm. No, like I don't know if any of
them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And biologically the same, neighbors, but on different things there is no close book. Is it relevant or simple or not?
I think there should be different. Huh?
I don't know. Usually these things are simple.
These.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And less. Yeah. They are.